Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
And this particular incident was rooted in some ambiguity, I believe, as was described from the organizers. There was a handshake agreement from 14 years ago, and I tried to do my best for the sake of both parties, ever always involved, of getting rid of handshake agreements and having, you know, some clarity. And that's not just for the city, but for whoever the event organizer is, or the sports team, or all of those different scenarios where we've had ambiguity around that.
So the mayor in his press conference yesterday, kind of an unusual Monday press conference for the mayor. They're typically on Tuesdays, sometimes on Wednesday. I don't remember one being on Monday in a while. I mean, I think Grover always had him on a Monday. Digging deep in the memory now, 2-3 years ago. But saying that the situation with the guns not bombs, or the food not bombs folks feeding people at Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza, which has been going on, you know, for 14 years. Michael Kimbrell, of course, you know, the incident that took place. The body cam video is out now. I have a lot of thoughts about that. I'm not going to deal with that particularly right now, but later on in the show, I'll play it for you so you can hear it for yourself. But the mayor yesterday addressing this and saying that, you know, there was not a permit per se, you know, not a real agreement per se, but there was kind of an understanding, a handshake agreement, a verbal promise that you can go ahead and do this. Well, the problem with verbal promises is that, you know, how is an officer supposed to know that? And how is he supposed to know what to enforce? Well, you know, it's not clear for both sides. It's not good for the user because they don't have anything to stand on other than their say-so. And it's not good for the law enforcement because they don't know what the say-so is. And so neither side really gets what it's supposed to have. You're supposed to, you know, have an actual agreement or have an actual permit, or, you know, that benefits everybody. There's clarity, there's sunshine, all of that stuff.
I want to first say we reached out to Mr. Kimbrell. He will be in City Hall meeting with our staff about getting a permit. You know, we'll see how that conversation goes. You know, we want a harmonious conclusion.
Right. And, you know, the mayor certainly believes in the program of helping people. He himself comes from a background where charity was in his blood. You know, his mom is very involved in all kinds of charity work, right? You know, he's not opposed to any of that. It's just a matter of getting clarity about the law and, you know, also defending his law enforcement officers. They do work for him ultimately.
That being said, certainly I've reviewed the video and I stand fully by our officer and his professionalism and his conduct throughout this particular incident. I don't think that Mr. Kimbrell had any ill intent, and I certainly don't think our officer had any ill intent, but this is one of those things where why we try to eliminate ambiguity.
Yeah, and that clarifies things for everybody. There is a rule on the books dealing with parks closing at night. That's not by time. And the reason you don't say it's closed at 6 or 7 is because darkness is the issue, right? If the park, like, think about your Bayview Park or your neighborhood park or some other park that's not this particular one. If you have it open during the daytime, well, that's fine because there's daylight and sunshine and, you know, bad behavior tends to come along when it's dark. Well, when it's dark is a different time every day during the year. And if they're trying to discourage bad behavior, well, you know, dark right now is a very different time than it is in July. And so they set it at dark instead of at a certain time. And also, it's a weird space. And, you know, he recognized that. Yes, he talked about that quite a bit, that, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza is an odd space because it's a median between two northbound and southbound one-way roads. It's also a park. And it's also a weird park because you wouldn't expect anybody to be, and I just, like I said, keep picking Bayview because it's available, but at Bayview, you wouldn't expect people to be there after dark because there's nothing for them to do after dark. But walking through the middle of Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza, which is, you know, a sidewalk, it's what they put the Saturday market down on, and you have the little archway at the south at Garden. I mean, it's very normal to walk through the middle of that park just as a way of getting from here to there. Would you ban that also? Well, it, you know, this is the challenge. What exactly should the rules be? And then, of course, do you have rules for each park separate from each other park? Do you have general rules for most parks and exceptions for some parks? That's why he wants clarity about this.
There is a rule on the books, clearly, that the park closes at night. That said, this is an effort that's important to our community. And certainly you guys know me and my background growing up in this community, and that trying to help our homeless community is important. And we do appreciate and applaud those efforts of folks that are wanting to do that.
Of course. We want clarity. We want law enforcement, and we want good deeds.
So I think our intent right now administratively is to try to provide clarity on both sides and allow people to do good deeds in our city, and make sure that our entire team, whether it's our Parks and Rec department, our police department, the mayor's office, or otherwise, has some clarity as well.
And, you know, how can we keep the rules? How can we keep public safety? How can we keep a food handout that is beneficial to the recipients? How can we make sure all of this happens? He was asked, would he drop the charges?
I can't speak to, I'm not the state attorney or the police department. That's certainly not something I can speak to or have the authority to say is or isn't going to happen at this point. I'd have to defer you to either PPD or the state attorney's office.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, because I know what some people will say is, well, the mayor is ultimately responsible for this. Yeah, but do you want the law, whatever the law is, whatever the ordinances are, do you want them dependent on, let's take, you know, a very uncharitable description, okay? Do you want enforcement of the law to depend on the whim of the mayor on a given Tuesday at 8 a.m. or Friday at 7 p.m.? No. I mean, you want the rules to be the rules, and law enforcement officers are supposed to, you know, enforce the rules. And, you know, if you're a law enforcement officer, you don't want to be enforcing rules or, you know, required to enforce rules where you've got to ask yourself, well, I don't know, would the mayor want me to enforce this one? I mean, you do want judgment. And if it's a misdemeanor, you do have discretion. That's one of the things that came up in the video. There was a kind of a squabble, bickering over, you know, whether he should or should not use discretion to not enforce a particular misdemeanor. So you do want officers thinking about public good and public order, and but you don't want them thinking about what the mayor thinks about these are complicated, more complicated than it seems at first. And although I think even my own first reaction was, well, you know what, just drop the charges, mayor. And then I thought about more, I thought, you know, that's not really what you want from the mayor. You don't want the mayor coming out in public and saying, yeah, this one, not this one. You want the state attorney's office and the police. And if there's, you know, if there's a problem over a long period of time with, you know, weird enforcement, overly militant enforcement, unrigorous enforcement, well, then maybe find a different chief. But over one incident, we're typically, you know, we're not talking about that. Certainly not yet in this case.
This is public property, and people have equal rights to be able to utilize that property so long as they're doing it through the proper channels. It'd be no different if there was if someone decided to hold a concert at the amphitheater at night. That would be in violation of the rules at Maritime Park. If it was a permitted event, you can do it.
Right. And the issue there is it has nothing to do with the content. It has nothing to do with whether this is a good event or a bad event. It's a public action. And, you know, part of the reason you have permitting is so that if there arises a dispute over who's entitled to use the space, because, you know, theoretically, okay, if they were looking for a fight, I don't think anybody wants to do this. But, you know, theoretically, if there were some weird group out there where their beliefs were that the homeless should not be fed, you know, the homeless are this scourge on society. They're these parasites. They're these, I mean, just imagine some weird, I don't know, group. And they decided, well, what we're going to do is we're going to show up and we're going to have a protest against feeding the homeless at 6 o'clock on Friday night at Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza. Well, how would you be able to say that the folks who are feeding the homeless are entitled to the space as opposed to the folks against feeding the homeless are entitled to the space? Well, this is why you make exceptions. Now, the same problem could arise during the day. But again, that's why you go and get a permit, because that entitles you to use the space for the thing that you're doing. And it at least requires the other people to, you know, kind of behave, or maybe they're not able to stand in this exact spot where you're doing your operation. So again, clarity and real agreements on paper as opposed to handshake agreements on, you know, words only. But, yeah, Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza, as he talked about, is an unusual space. And, you know, he was asked, you know, would you maybe just make a rule to make it at a time or to exclude Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza from enforcement? Or, you know, why not have the city council vote on, you know, changing the ordinance from all parks to all parks except for, right? Why not, you know, simple seeming solutions? And he says,
I certainly understand that MLK Plaza has some uniqueness to it that might be different than Bayview Park or Bruce Beach as it pertains to open and closing hour, just because of, again, a thoroughfare nature of it. That said, that it's not as simple as just saying, well, because this has a sidewalk down the middle, we're just going to now have no rules, or it's going to be open 24 hours a day. There's some just additional complexity that we are certainly open to looking at. But it's not as simple as just deciding that one's 7 o'clock, that one's 10 o'clock, that one's midnight. What can you do? What can't you do at midnight? Can you walk through? Can you sit? Can you stand? There's lots of different things that would need to be worked through.
Yeah. And I appreciate the mayor always not rushing in to solve something too quickly and saying, well, you know, probably need to talk about public works. We need to talk about the parks department. We need to talk about with PP. Like, there's a lot of people that need to be involved in this conversation before I just come here on a Monday morning after a Friday night incident and promise you some, you know, some rash public decision that now everybody's going to have to live with because I didn't do my homework well enough.
Police department has offered up if there's a delay temporarily of getting any type of permit going for the next time. I know they've offered up their parking lot, certainly for as many hours as they would need during the meantime. Certainly I would do the same at City Hall on a Friday night so that one of the events isn't skipped. It could be solved by then. I don't know, but we've offered that up already. I know the police department has conveyed to me that they've made folks aware of that offer as well.
So PPD parking lot is available. I do not expect this to happen at PPD parking lot, and I'll tell you why. I know Mike well enough that I think I can actually speak for him on this. Enough of his people will not feel comfortable at police department headquarters that to have the event there would be sort of unimaginable for him and for their organization. Now he may tell me I'm full of crap and they would be glad to have it there, but I think I know him well enough and kind of their views about policing that I don't think they're going to invite them. And I understand that. I think it's sad. I think it's unfortunate that they would feel uncomfortable, but they do feel uncomfortable, you know, vagrant homeless people, the kind of people who are likely to receive this food. Unfortunately, for whatever reasons, justified or not, are probably not eager to show up at the Pensacola Police Department to get their food. Now, City Hall is a different matter, especially because it'd be closed at that time. There wouldn't be anybody operating there. I think they might be willing to do that. And I was told yesterday, I wasn't here when it first happened, or maybe I just don't remember, but I guess during the Occupy stuff, that apparently there was some kind of a feeding taking place on the grounds, like the park at the northeast corner of City Hall. In Pensacola. And, you know, the story I was told was that a woman came by to photograph the feeding that was taking place. And apparently she got either trespassed or arrested for it. And then, again, this is all secondhand accounting told me, but by somebody who I trust. Okay. So, you know, I'm not saying it's false. I'm just telling you I wasn't here to know it. Apparently Charles Baer at the time had said to the cop, you know, are you going to arrest me too? Because I'm standing here. He's like, no, we wouldn't do that. You know, like, anyway, I wasn't here, but, you know, that's its own issue. Would they show up at City Hall? That seems easier to do. You know, there's less problem there from the police department. So anyway, what he also said is that it is the job of the police to enforce the ordinances. And that's true. I mean, this officer, you know, Roper, walking up on this scene, let's imagine he had no idea that this always took place, even though he's clearly been an officer for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. Some of the stuff that he references in the video show that he's been around for a while. You know, I don't know what was going on and why he decided to enforce the ordinance this night. Maybe he had literally never had encountered it before. But, you know, if you're an officer, the ordinances exist. And if you stumble on a park and there's a whole bunch of people doing a thing after dark, well, you know, you go talk to them. That's literally your job.
Is PPD's job to enforce the ordinances on the books. That is the definition of their job. Again, I certainly stand with our officer of trying to do it in a collaborative way.
And like I said, I'm not going to play the audio for you right now. I think I'll play it next hour, 6:10. But, you know, so we're going to go through the video now that we have the body cam video has been released. There were 100 ways this could have gone better. There were also ways this could have gone a lot worse. I think Roper tried to be very good and decent and generous in the beginning. I think Michael was generally within his rights kind of right up until the end. There was a misdemeanor, you know, being committed by being in the park after dark, and so he is required to provide some ID. The officer tried to let him not do that, and he wouldn't, and, you know, there was a lot of opportunities for better discretion to take off ramps, and it didn't happen. So I wish it would have gone a lot differently. I think yesterday what I was saying is that, you know, I don't know who's exactly right in this case. I don't know who's exactly justified. I still think that, you know, it didn't have to go the way it went, but I don't know that Roper was looking for a confrontation. Doesn't sound like it to me. You know, does that mean I think he did everything perfectly? No. You know, I think there were parts where it sounded like Mike was a little bit looking for a confrontation. And, you know, even though I like Mike and he's a friend, I know that's kind of in his nature also. So who's to blame for this? Well, there's a lot of blame to go around. And, you know, it's unfortunate. I watched the video basically sad, thinking, oh, none of this had to be this way. So, like I said, I'll play the video for, or I'll share you the audio from the video, the body cam video coming up next hour. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Oh, how's that flu, babe? Did you take DayQuil Intense Flu yet?
Nah, I got this. Ugh, okay, I don't got this.
You stay on the couch, and I'll grab the DayQuil.
Undo your flu symptoms with DayQuil Intense Flu. DayQuil Intense Flu provides powerful relief of your flu symptoms.
I'm ready for that to-do list.
Wow, you do got this.
DayQuil Intense Flu, the daytime coughing, aching, fever, under your flu medicine. Use as directed, keep out of reach of children.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida this Thursday at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline Nasal Spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons!
On it!
Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Two things, okay? Shut up.
Good morning, 528 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The second National Guard member that was shot near the White House last week is reportedly making some progress. Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf is now out of the medically induced coma he'd been in. The suspect in the shooting, of course, the Afghan national that worked with the U.S. forces in Afghanistan. He was injured in the incident and remains hospitalized, currently facing first-degree murder and other charges. The World Health Organization is now recommending GLP-1 drugs as a tool for managing obesity. The WHO publishing new guidelines Monday in the medical journal JAMA? J-A-M-A?
JAMA. Journal of American Medical Association.
Oh, well, thank you. They said the drugs, which include Eli Lilly's Zepbound and Nordisk's Wegovy, represent a new chapter in the shift in how society approaches obesity. And, Andrew, I know you're going to be really excited about this
one. I feel like this is never said sincerely.
Well, I don't know why you would make that type of assumption. Nick Jonas has a new album on the way. It's a solo album.
Okay.
And, he announced that he's gearing up for the
release
of his, I think so.
Was he in a group with other?
It people? Sounds like a boy bandish kind of name, right. Doesn't it?
Like maybe he had brothers, or something.
Okay, yeah, there we go.
John, you thought I didn't know that?
Well, I.
Oh my God!
I was looking at you, and
come on, John's eyes... looking. John's looking at me like, do you not know about the Jonas Brothers? You people, you know, I thought we were sarcasm brothers, and all of a sudden, I'm not sure anymore.
We are,
John.
But the look on your face was totally different. Plus, it's like 5:30 in the morning.
Go on, David. I've interrupted you like four different ways now. Go on. Well, so Nick Jonas with a solo
Nick
work?
Nick Jonas with a solo album. That's really, right. That's pretty much the long and short of it. That's all I got.
Okay, John. So since I know you don't really believe me, let me prove that, you know, actually Nick Jonas has made one of my favorite songs that the Blue Angels use. Okay, that's it, just to prove the point that I'm not quite as culturally ignorant as you apparently would like to believe at 5:30 on a Tuesday morning. But okay, fine. I'm just noted. Offense taken.
I'm CJ Papa. The White House adamant the second strike on an alleged drug boat in the Caribbean in September was legal.
Admiral Bradley worked well within his authority and the law, directing the engagement to ensure the boat was totally destroyed and the threat to the narco terrorists to the United States was eliminated.
White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt. Big storm featuring snow, rain, and ice. Fox Weather's Katie Byrne in Pittsburgh.
We could see up to 5 inches of snow in Pittsburgh, and it's really their first big snow storm of the season. So we've got the school delays, we've got cancellations, not only here, but all over the place.
Yeah, 95 quarter, brace for a nor'easter. The foul weather should clear by the time the polls open in Nashville, Tennessee, for the House race between Republican Matt Van Epps and Democrat Afton Ben, who's trying to pull off an upset in that deep red district in Tennessee. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 58 degrees and cloudy skies right now in Pensacola. Escambia County is set to grow with the approval of 3 new residential development projects. The county's Development Review Committee has approved over 200 new homes in November. Those will be in Cantonment, Northwest Pensacola, and Warrington. Blue Water Creek Estates in Cantonment will add 33 homes off Highway 97. Silver Lark Trace near NAS Pensacola will bring 187 homes, including both single-family residences and townhomes. And Tower Ridge Estates, Northwest Pensacola, will add 17 homes in total. The three projects bringing 167 single-family homes and 70 townhomes to the county. Gulf Breeze is considering a first-of-its-kind safety measure for its schools. Police Chief Rick Hawthorne wants the city council to allow community donations to fund a dog that would be trained to detect guns on campus. The estimated cost would be between $16,000 and $18,000. The idea came after a high school student brought a gun to school last year, then left it in an unsecured locker. Hawthorne says even one threat is too many. The canine would also serve as a therapy dog for elementary and middle school students. The Santa Rosa School District is supporting the plan. The Florida Highway Patrol stepped up patrols on Interstate 110 over Thanksgiving weekend to catch drunk and reckless drivers. Troopers say they made 8 DUI arrests, 5 criminal arrests, and 3 super speeder arrests. They also issued 10 traffic citations for other violations. The enforcement detail targeted drivers speeding and driving aggressively during one of the year's busiest travel periods. FHP says their goal is to keep roads safe for families that are traveling during the holidays. Well, Florida's state parks need over $1 billion in repairs. That, at least according to a report released yesterday by the Florida Department of Environmental Protection. That report found that the state's 175 parks need a lot of repairs. Most of the money needed to fix visitor centers, restrooms, and other facilities. State Senator Gail Harrell is pushing for the law that mandated the report. She tells the Tampa Bay Times that it's a first step in making sure Florida's parks remain the best in the country. Well, Senator Rick Scott backing an effort to block dangerous products from entering the country. Scott introduced the Destruction of Hazardous Imports Act yesterday. He said that would crack down on the reimportation of products previously rejected by the FDA as harmful. He said it would close the loophole that allows importers such as China to attempt the reentry of dangerous goods. He's hoping to stop contaminated foods, illegal vapes, and unsafe medical products from getting into the country. 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. Clouds are going to clear out as you head through the rest of your morning, high near 59 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 39 degrees. Going into Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 57. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 50 degrees. Rain chances will increase as you head into your Thursday, 70% chance of showers with a high near 58. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 54. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
58 and cloudy. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Shopify's back-end system suffered from an outage yesterday, coinciding with one of the biggest shopping days of the year. Select merchants were unable to log into Shopify, while others couldn't access their point-of-sale systems. Cyber Monday sales in the U.S. are expected to reach $14.2 billion, which is up 6.3% from a year earlier. Samsung Electronics has announced the launch of its first multi-folding smartphone as it races to keep pace with innovations from fast-moving.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. You've heard me talk about one car dealership in Pensacola, Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. Folks, new cars lose 11% of their value the second you drive them off the lot. So for years, Frontier Motors has been saving Pensacola residents thousands of dollars by getting them into the best previously owned vehicles. And thousands of people have enjoyed Frontier Motors' no hassle, no pressure experience. Just the best slightly used vehicles in town at a fair price. But don't take my word for it. Look around, and you'll start noticing all the Frontier Motors decals and tags. They're everywhere. So if you're in the market for a vehicle, do yourself a favor and see the friendly folks and the huge inventory at Frontier Motors. You can't miss them. Just look for the big buffalo on the lot. That's Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line.
You heard me right. Here's how.
Tune to 98.7. Wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed. Then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpy Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola Right Now, all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
All right, I do have to acknowledge this before we move on. John, you did manage to find a country song that I do dig. I like that one quite a bit, so it's a good one. You know, one in the thousands, needle in a haystack. No, but I mean, you know, good music is good music. So 5:38 here on News Radio 92.3. Yesterday we had a good chance to talk with Jimmy Patronis, our congressman from District 1, Northwest Florida. Jimmy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Great to have you. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Are you still... Yeah, I was about to ask you, you still stuffed from Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah, I eat too much. And they came out with today is the day you're supposed to stop eating your turkey. And I'm like, come on now. I'm eating turkey through at least Thursday. That's not a problem for me. You were
yeah, the
boys
are all eating ham this morning for breakfast.
That's right. You deep fried, didn't you? How'd that go?
No, so I did not deep fry. No. We couldn't figure out what we were doing as a family, so I ended up going over to my mom's house. Mom's 90, and she had this, some of y'all remember as kids, congealed salad. It's like Jell-O dessert.
Okay.
And so we ended up making congealed salads together and had those with the family. So that's kind of a little throwback.
Oh, I like that. Hey, I don't know if there's any news on this front, but I did want to ask you just because I think it's such a big deal for our area. Any update on the drilling in the Gulf and the concerns about, you know, interfering with the test range and all the stuff? And you had mentioned to us last week about it's not just always in the air over, but it's in the, you know, undersea operations as well. Any updates on any of that?
No, so, you know, I think the way all of it kind of came out right before the holiday, I mean, pretty much a lot of folks check out in D.C. We're waiting on the House bill to drop, the Senate bill has dropped. Both Ashley Moody and Rick Scott have filed a bill that protects drilling from taking place in the Gulf Range. In the case in the House, Byron Donalds out of Southwest Florida, he has got the Senate companion in the House, and so we're just waiting for Byron to release the bill so we can go pile on.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, here's hoping, because none of us want to see platforms anywhere out there in the Gulf, for sure, so let's hope that turns out.
And it's just such a to me, I think it's just a case of the right hand not talking to the left hand. You've got the president having momentum with wanting to have total control over our energy independent future, our future of our independence with energy. But then you throw the dynamics into what's happening down in the Caribbean and off the coast of Venezuela.
Yeah.
And you kind of see the importance of being able to still have those military missions here. So, I mean, we're all working and making our case.
Speaking of that, this is actually my next topic I want to talk with you about. You and I have talked previously. I would love to see a declaration of war and or an authorization for the use of military force, an AUMF. I just at least want to see that the evidence has been presented, at least in private session, to the House Armed Services Committee or somebody to vet the strikes that have now killed more than 80 people. But we now have two things, three possible land strikes, which I think is a even higher level of scrutiny and a higher level of, you know, legal bar. Second, the closure of the airspace, if it is even closed. Trump, of course, saying that on True Social. But now the allegations against Pete Hegseth, that he had the second strike against the very first drug boat that killed the two people in the water after they were no longer running the drugs or being a threat against him, you know. First of all, let's start with that. I assume you want to know more, because I know I want to know more. If this is true, this is very concerning, right?
Yeah, everybody wants to know more. And if that's, you know, if that's the case, it's definitely going to be a big problem. We'll already have a interest by the House Armed Services Committee. I know Don Bacon has been kind of leading the inquiry into that. So there'll be full transparency as to the closing of the airspace. All you got to do is go look at FlightAware, and there's no planes flying over Venezuela. And to me, this is what has triggered the phone call from Trump. Maduro to Trump yesterday or the day before yesterday, because that is like, you know, a real control over their economy that I think that probably Maduro didn't think Trump could do or thought of or would do. So,
well, if it had been laid out as a plan in advance, and there's no reason to assume that it wasn't, if you take out a bunch of drug boats and then say close the airspace or else, you know, would you as a pilot want to fly there? You know, and then of course, what would actually happen if we were to shoot down a plane?
Yeah, no,
you know, that's, I mean, these are all real questions.
So, I mean, the table being set, if I'm clearing the airspace, it's obvious that we don't want to have any mishaps over Venezuelan airspace. So, I mean, it's a real message to Maduro, and, you know, he's got to change his way. The crazy thing about it is you just kind of wonder how much is Maduro being propped up by the cartels himself, and how maybe does he really have any control over what, you know, he's living in now?
Yeah, sometimes you get, you know, you find yourself in charge of the parade that won't wait for you. You know, if you decide to stop, it'll just run you right over if you decide to do anything else. Let's talk a little bit, Congressman Jim Patronis, let's talk a little bit about the the horrible attack against the National Guardsmen that wound up killing one, and the other one's still fighting for his life. The president has now paused visas. He's paused refugee. Third world folks are not coming here. Afghanistan is not coming here. You know, we have 190,000 by the reporting that I've read is 190,000 Afghans here. Another 250,000 have applied. We got Haiti, the 350,000 Haitians are being told that they won't have temporary protective status come February. It, you know, obviously the president has taken a very firm stance about trying to eject illegal immigrants. But these are all legal people, you know, at least they are if they stay within their status. Thoughts about, you know, just basically putting up a sign that says absolutely no for now?
Right now, considering what just saw, how we saw a radicalized Afghani that, you know, made multiple coast-to-coast trips, and this is the one where he actually, you know, committed murder. And, I mean, this crazy guy was armed with a snub-nosed .357 revolver. I mean, to be able to hit something with a snub-nosed .357 revolver, you got to be pretty stinking close.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to see that type of anger that is there, and you kind of wonder, man, are these animals even, you know, even remotely, do they have the ability to be normalized into society? So, yeah, I kind of think what the president is pushing back on, you know what, until we understand what we're dealing with, let's hit the pause button, you know, and just the policies, just like remain in Mexico and these others, you know, what is wrong with not allowing that type of operational interest of coming back to the United States? Why not force people that want to come here to go and make themselves known through the proper channels? So, I mean, I'm supporting where the president's, you know, head is on this. We've got to push back on these crazies. I mean, you know, this is a shame. I mean, this family got devastated for Thanksgiving, and we've got a country in mourning.
Yeah, I of course, in this particular case, and it's horrible what happened to both of them, I also always feel like the balance here, the challenge is, Afghanistan, we had so many people work with us, so many people translate for us. This person worked with the CIA in some capacity that we, I guess, still don't really quite know what. And, you know, the thought was, and rightly so, that, hey, you know, if Afghanistan falls to the Taliban, you can't just leave these people over there because they will suffer and or be killed. And, you know, if we ever decided to send them all back, you know, that, you know, the Taliban's going to welcome them at the airport, you know. So I don't, it just, he was vetted to some degree, you know, he had to have been, he got approved by the Trump administration for his, asylum claim or whatever. I guess I don't know how to cut the balance, you know, hundreds of thousands of people in this country who we want to help, right?
As we reflect on how that debacle was handled, you know, there was a lot of problems that this administration has inherited, including, you know, individuals who are problematic. When you have that type of evacuation, I know our heart goes out to those that were helping us there.
Right.
But, you know, you had an evacuation that did not do any proper vetting because it was like the evacuation before a hurricane's making landfall. Everybody's trying to get the heck out of Dodge. So, I mean, yeah, we got some rotten apples with that effort. You know, I just it's a mess. But I think right now, shut it down and let's get our arms around what the hell we've got on our hands.
You know, one of the things this administration does a lot of stuff. And I think sometimes you and I mostly talk more about the administration than about what Congress is doing. But, you know, here we are. This is kind of how it is.
Sure.
Cutting the ties That's with fine. The Pentagon and the Boy Scouts, or now I guess it's just the Scouts. The National Jamboree will no longer get medical and logistical aid from the Pentagon. You know, 20,000 scouts come to town in West Virginia. Military bases are no longer, installations are no longer going to be able to, you know, house and hold events on. I always thought that the scouts, I was a scout, not a great one, second class, but my family's like first class and lifers and eagles and stuff. I was the failure in the family. But I always thought that scouting was a great preparation course for people who might eventually join the military. You know, it's all about service and country and, you know, all of the good things. Do you think this is useful for us to have the Pentagon say no more for the scouts?
Well, I think right now you've got a culture that has been introduced into scouting, which is not the same culture that was there when you were in the scouts.
Agreed.
Or my brother was in the scouts. And I think there has been some indoctrination that has just not been healthy. Pumping the brakes on this and let's try to let a little bit of a cooling off take place is probably not a bad thing. We have seen, policies that aren't necessarily probably in the best interest of creating the type of scout we had remembered as a kid. And you know what? That board of directors will go through a deep dive of what their mission is going to be moving forward. Sometimes you have to send a message in order to get, those organized groups like that and those leadership efforts to reevaluate what their mission is and what they're going to do. So it may not cure itself overnight, but, we may be having a different conversation this time next year about, what scouting is seeing and the role they play with the development of our young minds.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading a report on this said that as much as a third of Navy officers have some kind of a scouting background, which seems about right to me. I mean, I would not be surprised that it's very, very sure. high. But at the same time, I actually share the concerns, particularly with integrating scouts for boys and girls, because I've always thought that, boy-only spaces are different and girl-only spaces are different. And there's something lost when everything becomes intergendered, whether it's dorms in college or anywhere else.
1,000%. There are ways boys only hanging out with boys act differently. I mean, they joke differently. They have fun differently. You blend them together at a young age, to me, that's kind of disrupting just the development of how those little minds are supposed to work.
Yeah, there's just something different. There is something, and I know the culture around us is wanting us to pretend like genders don't exist and to erase all these barriers, but women need to have organizations where there's just women, and men need to have organizations where there's just men, and boys and girls the same way, because they are just different. There's something you cannot get in a mixed gender environment that you do get in a solo gender environment. So I definitely see where they're coming from anyway. Well, Jimmy, I know you're glad to be back at work. Anything coming up this week that we ought to be paying attention to for Congress?
No, it's going to be a busy week this week. I saw on the agenda, it sounds like we're probably going to be voting on the SCORE Act. And this is, Congress's attempt to wrap our arms around NIL and the portal and caps and dollars. And I don't think I'm going to vote for it. It's a first step. It's not a perfect bill. I think we've allowed the NCAA to just destroy collegiate athletics. And, now it's Congress, which you really want to send this body in there to go fix up collegiate sports. But right now that's the only choice we've got because of just the ineptness of the weakness of the leadership of the NCAA not doing their stinking job. So now we're going to have a weak, watered-down solution to an already bad situation.
As you say, Congress is not necessarily the people you call first when you have a problem. So if it's up to Congress, the thing has kind of gotten out of hand already. Jimmy Petronas, he is our congressman from Florida's District 1, Northwest Florida's District 1. Jimmy, as always, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, sir.
Y'all have a great week. Take care.
Absolutely. Who are you going to call? Not Congress. 552 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
This holiday season, whether you're shopping for clients, coworkers, or loved ones, Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze makes gift-giving easy and memorable. From custom apparel and drinkware to unique holiday gifts and decor, you'll find the perfect way to show your appreciation and spread cheer. Make your gifts stand out with personal touches and professional quality, all from your local experts at Prim and Proper. Visit them at 336 Gulf Breeze Parkway or primandproper.com.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. There are now over 150,000 lawyers in the state of Florida. However, less than 1,000 are board-certified civil trial lawyers. I am proud to say that I have been board-certified since 1993. If you need help with any injury case, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Atlas Beverage Class, holiday hours, gift cards, New Year's Eve Restaurant Week, and so much more tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Listen, if you were to rescue her, the reward would be...
What?
Well, more wealth than you can imagine.
I don't know. I can imagine quite a bit.
You'll get it. I better. You will.
Come on, baby, let's club. Put your hands up. Do the running man. Do the lawnmower. Just don't do the Macarena. 555 on News Radio 92.3. I mean, not that you can't do the Macarena. You just can't do it to this beat. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. Mommy, what's a Macarena? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know it's true. Go ahead, David.
Well, good morning.
That's what my kid would say. What's a Macarena, Dad?
President Trump is holding a cabinet meeting today, one day after calling his national security team to the Oval Office for talks concerning Venezuela, as the White House continues defending the use of lethal force against drug boats in the Caribbean. Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt was asked about that controversial Washington Post report that we were talking about yesterday. About Secretary of War Pete Hegseth allegedly ordering the killing of everyone aboard a drug boat in the Caribbean, leading to a second strike to eliminate survivors. Leavitt said all aspects of the strike were legal, but did not confirm if there was a second strike specifically targeting survivors of the first.
Yeah, this story is, let's just say it's evolving. There's been a lot of question about the veracity of the events. What did the general? There's even one allegation is that they might have been turning around before they were shot. I mean, there's a lot of, before the boat itself was attacked, that they might have been turning around. So there was another boat that they did, let survivors, they rescued some survivors and returned them. So it's
definitely an evolving one.
Yes.
For sure. Hold on, where was I at? Here we go. The second National Guard member that was shot near the White House last week is starting to make some progress in his recovery. Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf is now out of that medically induced coma he was in. Of course, the suspect in that case remains hospitalized and facing first-degree murder charges. Lane Kiffin has now been introduced as LSU's new football coach. Kiffin promised to restore the team to being the best program in all of college football during his introductory press conference yesterday.
Very good. The most popular man in, is it Oxford? Is that where?
Yes. I mean, a lot of people were telling him he was number one, and I really was appreciative.
I don't think they were using the right finger when they said that. 558.
Maybe they were confused.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think that's what that gesture means. We love you. You're the best.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. 437-1620. I read this. This is a real story. Okay, you're going to think I'm making this up, but this is a real story. Scientists have been studying the shape of people's buttocks in order to decipher which people, based on their buttock shape, might or might not be at more or less risk of diabetes and other factors related to aging. I kid you not. They were using 3D shape imaging of people's butts. This is like a grant I would have applied to when I was 20. We're going to study some butts, and we're going to figure out...
I'm still speechless.
It's okay, ma'am. It's for science.
Yeah, it is.
No, what they say is that if you exercise regularly or if you sit a lot or if you do the things that make you healthy or if you do the things that make you unhealthy, and this will affect the shape, not just the size, I'm not kidding, of the gluteus maximus, that may be something that they can determine through 3D mapping, and it's almost like you might do a gene test to see if somebody is susceptible to certain diseases in the future. You can do a butt shape test in order to decipher if somebody might be prone to developing diabetes or other aging-related problems. Now, not to get too sciencey about it, but, you know, people have different shaped butts to start, and, you know, how do you identify what they began with? I mean, you know, this one's grape-shaped, and now it looks thus, and this one's pear-shaped, and now it looks thus. I mean, you gotta... What's the baseline? You can't just randomly walk in on somebody's butt and know what their medical future's gonna be. That's not science. But it is for science, ma'am.